Good morning, church. Let's stand and worship together.
Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, way beyond the blue. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me, way beyond the blue. For I took Jesus as my Savior, you take Him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take Him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take Him too. While He's calling you. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. Do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue.
Well, good morning, church. This morning we have a few short announcements. This Tuesday we will be having here at the church a memorial service for John Campbell. It'll be at 11 a.m. And just wanted to give you a heads up. For everyone here at the church, there will be a luncheon here in the fellowship hall immediately after the service. Just to be sensitive, not everyone attending will be invited, but if you are a part of the Redeemer family, you are invited. Secondly, Easter Lily orders are available. That will be through next week. Order forms are available at the Welcome Desk and also through the Church Center app. Also, we will be having a men's breakfast a week from this next Saturday. It'll be April 5th from 8 to 9:30 a.m. And finally, Alan Sandlin began this morning his new class at 9:30 in room 202 called Grow Our, a study in the book of James. If you weren't able to attend this week, that's okay. You can come in anytime. Next week would be a great time for you to start there as well. Finally, on the backside of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give, whether online or in person. We encourage you to give to help support the ministries of this church as the Lord leads you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashton. All right, let's dive back into worship together.
I am free.
I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free, yeah. Hell lost another one. I am free. Ooh, I am free. Yes, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free, yeah. Hell lost another one. I am free. Ooh, I am free. Yes, I am free. Because you picked me up. Ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, 'cause you healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Turn our focus to the scripture for a moment. We're going to read from Psalms. This is Psalm 73, verses 21 through 25. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you.
Sing praise to the King of Kings. You are everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, 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 I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we do adore you, and we bow before you and lifting our hands, acknowledging that you are the God of all things. And God, no matter what we would perceive in our lives as blessing or obstacles, whether it be going through highs or lows, that you are in the midst of all things and you are working all things together for good. Jesus, I pray that we would have a faith that would not be shaken when things before us seem like there isn't a path to take, or it seems like any decision we make is wrong. God, we know that if we do things of our own power, that it will be wrong, that we will fail, and that we will fall short of what you have planned for us. Lord, I pray that we would open up our hearts and allow you, Holy Spirit, to indwell us, to do the things that you have planned for us that only you can do through us. And Lord, if this is a foreign concept to us, maybe we have never fully opened ourselves up and allowed you to take charge and allowed you to move through us. I pray that we would do that this morning. God, I pray you would be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word. And I pray that you would invigorate us and you would give us everything that we need, not just to make it through this week, Lord, but to change us to be more like you. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and grab a seat. So, just so you know, last week I flew up to Illinois for a short visit. Well, it ended up being a little longer than a short visit, but it was supposed to be a short visit. So I flew up and don't have a problem flying. I've flown quite a bit, so it doesn't bother me when I fly. I'm one of those guys that, like, people are like, oh no, it's the takeoff, it's the landing. I'm like, that's the best part. So I enjoy flying. I really like flying. So it's fun. So we went up there for a little bit, had a little bit of trouble, on the way back, which I'll talk to you about in a little bit. But on the flight, I thought what I would do is I would read through the book of Proverbs. That'll help me kill some time up in the air or whatever. So I read through the book of Proverbs, and for whatever reason, I decided to start reading, what was the day of the week, which was like the 15th or 16th. And I read all the way to the end, and then I started over at the beginning. And when I got to about Proverbs chapter 3, I wasn't really sure where I was at. I was just reading, and I came across this verse that says God is intimate with the righteous. And I was like, oh, sweet. I love this verse. This is a great verse. I was so excited about the verse. I was like, okay, I got to do something with it. Kind of like made a mental note in the back of my head. Like, I can't wait to do something with this verse because it's really cool. God is intimate with the righteous. And if you've been here before, you hear me, I'll talk about how to have an intimate relationship with God. I use that intimate word a lot. So I saw it in the Bible. I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, so exciting. And so then kind of lost track of it, whatever. Well, this week, at the beginning of the week, when I started figuring out what I was going to teach on, or what I was going to preach on this morning, it was that verse. And I was so excited. And so I'm like, this is great. So you guys are going to get some great stuff here this morning, because I'm so excited about talking about this concept of how humans can be intimate with God. Now, understandably so, and I understand this, that's a difficult concept for us to understand, because it's just hard to understand how the all-powerful God of the universe would even want to be intimate with us. If you think of the fact that, you know, think of it this way, is God can go anywhere, he can do anything, he can do anything. Why in the world would he want to spend time with me? Why would he want to spend time with you? Think of it, he can do anything. Like he could ski down, whatever. I mean, why would he want to spend time with just lowly old me? And another aspect that oftentimes people struggle with about this is because if God is perfect, which he is, if God has never done anything wrong, if God has never been in a situation where anything evil that he has done, why would he want to spend any time with me? I'm not a person necessarily who's all that good. I mean, I try, but I make mistakes. I do things wrong. And so you understand how he's so pure and holy and so magnificent. Why would he want to hang out with a person like me, like you? And so what happens is there's this part of us that feels uncomfortable. Like, it sounds wonderful that God wants to spend time with us, that God wants to know us. It sounds wonderful, but then at the other part, it's like, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, why would he want to? And so what happens is people kind of live and they function in that reality. They understand that the Bible says God wants that, but then in their mind, they're like, it doesn't make any sense. So what I'm going to try to do here this morning with you is I'm going to try to help answer this question. How do we have intimacy with the infinite? How does a human have intimacy with the infinite? And there's three goals here. One of the goals is this. I'm trying to show you and demonstrate to you that it's possible. Because once we understand that it's possible, once we understand that it's something that can happen or that God desires to happen, then we'll understand, okay, even though it's hard to understand or it's hard to grapple with, at least I can know that God, it's possible. It's something that's possible. And the second thing I want to do, I'm hoping to do, is as we answer that question, we're going to really talk about the dynamics of how, what does it mean to be in an intimate relationship with an infinite God? What does that mean? As we talk about how to do it, then we're going to also explain what it means. And what I'm hoping will happen is that as we move through this, you understand, regardless of where you're at in your relationship with the Lord right now, you understand that God does want an intimate relationship with you. This desire on his part is not just that you be righteous, you be a good person. That's part of it, but that's not what he's looking for. He wants intimacy with you. He wants you to know him like you've never known him before, and he wants to be in a close relationship with you. So the question that we're going to ask and we're going to try to answer is, how do we have intimacy with the infinite? How do we have intimacy with the infinite? If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We are starting a new series in the book of Proverbs. It'll be a little bit in chapter 3, and then we're going into chapter 4. And one of the things that I want to help you to see or help you to understand is that Proverbs, oftentimes people think about Proverbs, and their idea behind Proverbs is it's like, this is how you should live. And there's definitely an element of that. But the book of Proverbs specifically and specifically the history of how these proverbs came to be indicate that the message here is not just how to live, but it's how to live in light of who God is. How to live in a relationship with Him. There's a lot of things that you could read. You could read Proverbs about how to live life, and you could read those, and those would be helpful. If you live by those, your life would probably go better. But that's not the point of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is to demonstrate how you should live in light of the fact that God is a real God and He's infinite, and how to live in light of that relationship with Him. That's what the book of Proverbs is really trying to communicate. So today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 31 and 32. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 32. And we're going to ask this question of these Proverbs: how do we have intimacy with the infinite? What we're going to learn is that intimacy flows from imitation. And I'll explain that in a little bit. It also, intimacy flows from intention. And last, intimacy flows from integrity. And so we're going to look at those three things here in a little more depth. How do we have intimacy with the infinite? First thing is that intimacy flows from imitation. Intimacy flows from imitation. What we allow ourselves to desire and imitate changes us. What our motives are, what our things are that our heart truly longs for, changes us. Look with me at the beginning of verse 31. It says this: do not envy a violent person. Do not envy. The word envy there has to do with to be jealous, to have a strong desire for something. Do not want. Do not have that thing. I want to get something. What is it that you're not supposed to envy? Do not envy a violent person. Now, in our time, a violent person doesn't seem like something that I would be envious of. And I'm hoping that most of you are in the same boat. A violent person, you don't see a violent person say, oh, wow, I want to be like that guy when I grow up. It's just not something we would do. But I want to take you back to the situation that's going on here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is, for the most part, written by King Solomon to his son. And his son is currently in training to be either the king one day or to be within that royal court. And so what these instructions are teaching him how he should live. But he lives in a world, in an environment, in a culture where violence is actually good for a king. The people of Israel were surrounded by other nations. And those nations were being led by kings who were very successful. And they were successful because they were very violent. Now, this is not our time. This is not our situation. We are not there. But if you look back on the culture and you see what's going on here, when a king wanted to take over another country, he didn't come in with machine guns and with tanks and just shoot at military. Oftentimes, these kings would come in and they were incredibly violent. There wasn't much left when they were done. People, buildings, everything. Violence was the way to get a leg up in this time period here. And so what Solomon's son was doing is he was looking out and he was saying, okay, how should I be a better king? How should I be a better leader of this country? And they were looking at people from other cultures, and the guys who were winning were the violent people. They were the ones who were getting stuff done. And so the temptation here is for Solomon's son to look at those guys and say, hey, it may not be the right thing to do, but man, they're winning. They're getting it done. And so the temptation is to be like those guys. And Solomon says, don't do that. Don't be desirous of that position. Don't be looking for what they're doing and envy the things that they have. Because these people
who function this way are not living according to the way that the Lord tells people to live. These people are living by a different rule. And that rule is whoever has the biggest army wins. And he's saying, hey, don't live that way. Don't desire what they have. And the reason that we have to keep this in mind and you need to keep this at the forefront of your mind is that what we desire changes us. If Solomon's son begins to desire the kingdoms and the success of these other nations, he's going to want to do the things that they're doing and that they shouldn't do. The idea of what we desire changes us is a part of what's being dealt with here. Don't be envious. Don't desire people, the lifestyle of people that are living apart from God. Now, my trip up to Illinois, just like all flights, when you come into the airport, you come off the jetway and you come in, you cross through the opening in the plane, you walk, and usually you say to the left, you say hello to the flight attendants or maybe the pilot, and then you hang a right, and the first thing that you see is first class, right? Maybe you haven't been on a plane in a while, but the first thing that's right there is that section, it's first class. And as you walk through first class, what you see is there are chairs that are look incredibly comfortable. What you see is space that's in completely wide. It looks like everybody's just having a really good time in first class. Everything looks great. And then you keep walking, and then you go back to coach. And then you sit in a really tight little chair, on an uncomfortable chair, and you sit there and stew for a couple hours about how you really wish you were in first class. That's generally what happens. And the reality is what happens is what we wish, what we desire, what we hope for changes us. The experience in coach is different because we've longed for something else. Now, if they put us through on the back of the plane and we never saw first class, we'd probably be okay where we were we wouldn't have known any different. But because we've seen something different, we've desired it, it's changed us. And that's the idea here, is that Solomon is communicating to his son, listen, if you desire that, you'll fall into that. It'll change you. You'll want to emulate those patterns in your life. So he says, don't do that. Don't be envious of them. Don't look for them. Don't try to be like them, because intimacy flows from imitation. What we're trying to be like, who we're trying to be like, changes how we live today. What we allow ourselves to desire changes us. And the challenge for us is to begin to think about who is the hero and what is his life or her life like that you're trying to imitate. Who are you trying to be like? Oftentimes, people who have become believers, who have entered into a right relationship with God because of their faith in Jesus, they get to a point in their life where they start looking at people as their heroes. And oftentimes, the temptation for us is to look to people who are perfect, who have everything figured out, who don't make mistakes, people who have given off this image, given off this perception that they are perfect. And we say, man, I really just want to be like that guy or that girl. The difficulty with that is that they're really not perfect. You're seeing them from a distance. And so you have this perception that, hey, they're a perfect person, but they're really not. You're getting this perception. But then when you make a mistake or when you fall down or you do something wrong, you get all frustrated. And so the challenge, what I want to challenge you to do is don't make a hero in your life people that are perfect. Don't try to be like the perfect people who make no mistakes. You just don't know about their mistakes. Try to pick as a hero a person who has a genuine, authentic relationship with the Lord. Somebody who is trying to do the right thing, and if they do the right thing, they're just so thankful that the Lord's helped them do it. But even if they do make a mistake, they get themselves up, dust themselves off, and keep going. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it. I'm not perfect. I want to be in a right relationship with you. Those are the kind of people that we need to set up as our heroes. Not people that are perfect, because nobody's perfect, and we are clearly not perfect. Instead, look to follow, to imitate someone who is in an authentic relationship with God. struggling and falling and getting themselves up and keep going. Choose a hero that is someone who is intimate with the infinite. Because who we try to imitate changes who we are. So how do we have infinite intimacy with the infinite? First of all, intimacy flows from imitation. Who are we trying to be like? Second of all, intimacy flows from intention. Look with me at the end of verse 31. And what we allow ourselves to choose, and what we allow ourselves to make a decision about changes us. The last part of 31 says this, and do not choose any of his ways. And do not choose, do not make a decision, do not make a volitional choice any of his ways. And in context, the ways that are being talked about here is this violent person who has a high-handed way of living. They are hard on people. They cause a lot of pain to other people. They don't have any problem doing that. They're not kind to the poor. They're not kind to the people who are hurting. Instead, they're heavy-handed and they're looking. It says, don't choose any of his ways. And the idea here is Solomon is telling his son, don't try to make decisions that are like that. Don't be like those ways that that person has. He may be successful. He may be able to accomplish things. He may be ruling the area around where his country is. But don't choose any of his ways. Don't choose to be a person who is living his own way and doing what is best for themselves. Somebody who's choosing to be violent. Because what we allow ourselves to choose changes us. And where Solomon is going here is he's talking not just about the actions, but the motive and the desire behind the actions that causes the actions. Don't choose, don't have the desire to do those things. And what oftentimes happens for us is we are fortunate and we get into a spot, and even though we have wrong desires or desire to do something wrong, we don't actually follow through on it. And we get this perception, hey, everything's okay. All right, I didn't do it. I got scared, bailed out, or circumstances changed. But the core of the issue is don't do it, that's wrong, but also the desire to do it is not good. On the return flight home from Illinois, my flight was canceled on the return flight home, and so I was put into a different, they had to find me a different airplanes to go to get home. And so I had chosen my seat, I had chosen my time, I had my departure time, I had chosen all those things, but the circumstances changed on me, and then I had to do something different. It wasn't my choice, it was something that happened, and I had to just go with it. But my decision was changed by something else. But I want you to begin to understand and to think about that our choice, our desire, what we want to do is still a factor in the equation. Just because we don't fly home on the flight that we think we were going to fly home on doesn't mean it's okay. Even if we don't actually follow through and do something wrong, if our desire is there, that's something we've got to look at. And so when we're looking at our own lives, we need to choose to have intimacy with the infinite. Even if it doesn't work out, even if it doesn't come together, even if the circumstances don't lay themselves out the right way, still choose that intimacy with the infinite. Maybe you are in the morning, you decide to get up early one morning, you're like, hey, I'm going to spend some time reading my Bible and praying and drinking some coffee and just spending time with the Lord. And that doesn't work out because something breaks in the kitchen or you have to run out really quick and something gets messed up. Okay, it's not great, that's not ideal, but your desire right was there, was good. And that's really what you need to do. What we have to do is we have to look at that. What are our desires? Is our desires for what is successful and what people are succeeding, or is our desire to be in an intimate relationship with God? Even if we don't follow through on it, if we can't follow through on it, what is our desire? What is the base of what we're wanting to do? And choose to stay close to the Lord, even if things get in the way. So how do we have intimacy with the infinite? First, intimacy flows from imitation. Choose a hero that has an intimate relationship with the Lord. Second of all is intention. Take a look at your choices and desires. What is it that you want? Do you want an intimate relationship with the Lord, or are you looking for something else in your life? And the last thing is intimacy flows from integrity. Look with me at verse 32. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord. The devious, those who are violent, who are choosing to live their own way, they are an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination means that they are detestable. God wants nothing to do with them. They are distant. God wants to keep his distance from them. They are an abomination from him. Those who are wanting to do things their own way, who are violent, who are living life this way, even though they may be successful in the big picture of culture, they are at their core an abomination to the Lord. And then the last part of verse 32 gives the exact opposite. But he, God, is intimate with the upright. The upright is that person who is choosing to do things the way that God tells them to do it, is trying to do things the way that the Lord is having them to do them. And God, he says, he is intimate with the upright. That intimate word there has to do is he takes them into their counsel. He is in a close relationship with them. He is conversing with them and dialoguing with them about life. And that's a beautiful picture if you can really grasp what is talked about there, is that God intends to be in an intimate relationship, communication back and forth with those who are righteous. The other side of the spectrum is that those who are living their own way, God has disdain for them. He wants nothing. Push them as far away as possible. But the righteous are the ones he wants to be close and intimate with. And that's the picture that's being demonstrated here. This is the lesson that Solomon is trying to communicate to his son, is choose to be righteous. You may have to give up success from a cultural standpoint, but the advantage is the all-powerful God of the universe wants to be intimate with you. And intimacy is the natural byproduct of doing righteous deeds. Intimacy is something that God desires. Now, we often get this reversed, and we think that in order to be in a close relationship with God, we have to be righteous. But the reality is, God doesn't need our righteousness to be close to us. He doesn't need it. We need it. On the way home from the flight, there was a nonstop flight, so it was great. Everything was great. Well, that one got canceled, and so I had a layover. And on the second leg of the trip was in a very, very tiny plane. And so one of the things that we had to do, even though I didn't check any of my bags, as I was going down the jetway, I had to turn in my bag, and they threw it under the airplane because it wouldn't fit in the overhead bin. And so I told the lady, I said, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Like, how do I get my bag back when I get there? And she said, this is what you do. When you get off the plane, go to the right, stay on the right-hand side and wait there, and we'll give you your bag. I said, okay, well, I got it, no problem. So I get off the airplane, and I get out of the jetway, and I go and I turn right, and I stand there, and I'm just waiting for my bag. And so it comes out after a little while. I grab my bag, and I start to go down the rest of the jetway. And as I'm going down the rest of the jetway, I realize there's a line of people, probably 20 or 30 people in line waiting to pick up their luggage. And I had inadvertently, I had no idea that I didn't mean to do it, I had inadvertently cut in front of all of those people in the line, and I got my luggage right away. I didn't know. And as I walked past all of those people, I kept feeling so guilty. I didn't look at any of them in the eye. I was just like, I had no idea, and I just kept going and got off the jetway. And that's the reality of what we do in our relationship with the Lord. When we do something wrong, when we're not living the way that we know we're supposed to, we feel ashamed, we feel embarrassed, and so we don't want to be in that intimate relationship with the Lord. So that lack of intimacy is not because of him, it's because of us. We feel guilty. And so that's why it's important for us to be righteous. Not because God needs it. God can be in a type of relationship with us no matter what. He doesn't need that, but we need that. We need that clean ability to go before the Lord, even if we've made mistakes. We've talked to him about it, said, Lord, please forgive me, and we can be clean in front of the Lord. And that's what we need for that intimacy. So that intimacy flows out of being our integrity, choosing to live the way that we know we're supposed to. How do we have intimacy with the infinite? First, intimacy flows from imitation. Choosing to be our heroes, people who have a genuine relationship with the Lord. Second of all, intimacy flows from intention. Looking at and evaluating our desires. Do we really truly desire intimacy with God? Or are other things a priority for us? And the last thing is our integrity. How we live. Are we choosing to live and be righteous? On the way back from this trip from Illinois, I was very early in the morning, about 3 or 4 in the morning, I looked at my phone, I got a text saying, your flight has been canceled. And so I was a little bit half asleep when it first happened, and it said Colombia. And so they rescheduled my flight to Colombia. And I thought it was just like I was going to the country Colombia. And I thought, oh man, this is terrible. And so I woke up a little bit and realized, no, they were getting me a flight to Columbia, Missouri. There'd be a 2-hour layover, and then I'd have my trip home. And I'd end up coming home way later than I'd originally planned. And I was going to spend a couple hours in 2 airports, and it was just a huge pain. And the whole time, I just kept thinking, this is not good. I hate this situation. I just want to get home. And there was just a part of me that said, don't get mad about this. Don't get frustrated at God about this. Don't take it out on him. You need him for the next several hours. And I realized in that moment, the better thing for me to do was not to get upset about it, not to get upset at the people at the airline, to get upset at the attendants or the people that canceled our flight, is not to do any of that, but just to be in a right relationship with the Lord, to be righteous. Because over the next several hours, I was going to have a lot of time to be with the Lord and have a lot of time to talk and to pray or whatever I was doing. And so instead of choosing to be angry, to choosing to do the right thing, I thought, a better way to do this, even though it's not fun, a better way to do this is to choose to be okay with what's going on, because then I'll at least have the companionship of the Lord for the next couple of hours. And the same thing is true in our own relationship. If you have an intimate relationship with God because of your faith in Jesus, look at that and understand a lot of the things that we are supposed to be doing or need to be doing, those are not things that we have to do in order that God will like us. God already loves us. But if we make those decisions to be righteous, what we do is we put ourselves in a position to be in an intimate relationship with him. And that's something that he wants. And ultimately, if we give it a chance, it's something that we'll want as well. So this week, my challenge for you is to commit to be righteous. Commit to doing things that may be hard. Commit to doing things that may not make a lot of sense in our culture. But commit to doing the things that you know the Lord wants you to do. To be righteous. Not because you need to be righteous so that he'll love you, but because you'll need to be righteous so that you can be in an intimate relationship with the infinite.
This is the part of our service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, also known as communion. If you did not receive a cup on the way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that you receive one. Excuse me. You do not need to be a member or a tender here at this church, but we do ask that you be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that you've been baptized. That's a declaration of your faith to participate. If that's not you, then we ask that you simply limit your participation to observing what we're doing and what we're saying. Well, Pastor Forrest talked about this idea of intimacy with God, and in the practice of communion, we have a very practical way of doing that, because we can't see Christ, we can only see his body. In other words, we can see the church, we can see one another. And this practice of communion reminds us that we are one body. We are united, we are a unified body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And so this idea of participation or fellowship or partaking together is something we do together as a body. Verse 17 continues, there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all share from the one bread. And so in 1 Corinthians, the church at that time had a lot of issues, and Paul was addressing them, but the primary issue was divisiveness. They were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm with Peter. And Paul had to remind them throughout the letter that they need to be a unified body. And in this part of, in chapter 10, he's talking about this one loaf of bread, saying we are one body, or they were one body, and it's the same for every local church. And so as we come together for communion, it's not something that we do privately, it's not something we do individually with God, but we do it as a family, as a church family together. And so as we take the bread, we'll eat it together, and if you would, after you've eaten, would you turn to your neighbor or someone nearby and tell them, we are one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Let's partake together. And as we come to the cup, we recognize that it is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through his atoning sacrifice on the cross, that we can be part of his body. And everyone who has faith in that sacrifice of Christ can be part of the church, can be part of Jesus Christ. And so after you drink the cup, would you again turn to your neighbor or someone nearby and say, the blood of Christ unites us. The blood of Christ unites us. And if you would, please bow with me in prayer. Father, what love is this, that we, while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that you would reconcile us to yourself, adopt us into your family, make us part of the body of Christ. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for indwelling us and empowering us for life and ministry. We thank you so much for this church service this morning. Please empower us now as we go out to our week, remembering that we are all one body in Christ, that we are intimate with one another and intimate with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're dismissed. Sorry, I forgot to tell him that. My bad.